Open your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to begin this morning with verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now when he says they are one, he that plants and he that waters are one, that doesn't necessarily mean we're talking about the same individual, but we are saying they're on the same level. They are on the same side. They have the same cause, the same purpose. You will remember the controversy, the division, the divisiveness that is spoken of here in the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. And as Paul deals with it, he nails the problem down to one specific area, and that is carnality. The fact is, these folks in Corinth have not grown the way they ought to. And as a result, there's all sort of competition, there's all sorts of divisiveness and partisanship and all that kind of thing. And he says, this is carnality, this is carnal. You're not being controlled, you're not being governed by the Holy Spirit. Instead, you're being governed by human nature. Now, some people never, ever get beyond that point. I gave my heart to the Lord, and that's as far as they ever go. They never make it to the point where they recognize that to live the Christian life, they are absolutely bound to need not just the presence, but the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. You cannot be the kind of father. You can't be the kind of mother, wife, husband, parent. You cannot be what the Bible says you're supposed to be in and of your own strength. You cannot do it. It's funny. The old time songs used to make that point. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Standing on the promises, leaning on the everlasting arms. Those old songs, they had a lot of good sense to them. It's a pitiful thing that people feel like they've gotten so sophisticated that they've passed by the need for the old doctrinally sound songs of the faith. It's interesting. When you make a study of church music and you correlate it to the kind of preaching that was being done and being observed, being sat under by the particular authors and composers of the best of the old songs, you will find that that music and the words, the doctrine in those words, reflect the preaching of that time. The music was a good barometer of the preaching that was being done in that time when that music was being written. That being the case, when you look at the shallow kind of music that's being written today, it is a terrible condemnation on the preaching that's being done today. I say terrible, maybe that's not quite right. Maybe I should say it is an accurate barometer of the level of the spirituality and doctrinal purity of the preaching that's being done today. And in that sense, it is an awful condemnation. Not because it is inaccurate, but because it is accurate in pointing out the awful deficiency, the awful diluted mess, the pollution that is being put out today and called preaching. The pure Word of God has been buried under layers and layers and layers of denominational interpretation, run through series and systems of personal filtration, so that what comes out bears very little resemblance to what went in. It is no wonder that our society, that our nation is where it is today. You have people who live in a vacuum talking about a great return to God. I don't see it. It's not happening. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar business. Excuse me. If we're having a great revival in America, who's buying that stuff? Who's supporting that stuff? Huh? Ugly questions demanding truthful answers, and you won't like the answers. Why is it that breweries are still in such demand? Why is it that the street value of drugs is so high? Is it not because if demand Excuse me, if America is experiencing a great Holy Ghost revival, why are these vices still as prominent as they are? Be honest with you, I think these who scream the loudest about a great return to God are smoking something themselves. Whether it's something active on their part or whether they're just living downwind, they're not seeing reality as it is. I don't know what color the grass is or the sky is where they live, but it's not like it here in reality. As you move through chapter 3, you will find that Paul says, look, I preached the word, I planted it. That makes me more important than Apollos. He didn't say that. He said, I planted it, Apollos watered it. But God gave the increase. The spiritual life, Christianity, does not owe its existence to logic, does not owe its continuance to rationalization. It owes its being to God and to Him alone. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're one and the same. The work may differ, but they're going at it with the same idea, and that is to obey God and to please Him. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, these men that they're lining up behind, Peter and Apollos and different ones, he says, look, they're all going to be rewarded by the Lord according to their labor. He's the one that's keeping score. You don't need to do that. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. These men, Apollos, Paul, if we flip back here to chapter 1, let's see here. He says in verse 2, now this I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He says, look, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Now the word husbandry comes from a Greek term that has as its root land under cultivation. Husbandry, land under cultivation. We are laborers together with God. You are the land that God has under cultivation. You are a building that God is making. That's the essence of verse 9. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now you notice there's a period. Master builder, it's interesting. The Greek word means a ruling artificer. The the Greek word is architecton. You get the word architect from this master builder. You know, before you start building, you need some blueprints. I'm just putting up a shed. Well, you still make a design in your mind. You figure out what kind of materials you're going to need and where you want it and how you're going to brace it and all the rest of that. You're doing a wee bit of artifice. You're being your own architect, perhaps. But if you're going to build a building that's going to house the public, you know that the state will require that you have to have an architect draw up the plans. An architect is one who understands what it is to build, not just driving nails in wood, but what sort of structure it's going to take in order to retain heat in the winter, stand up against wind, have a roof that's solid enough to stand up under a snow load, have the pitch to the roof that won't let the water pool on it and leak. A master builder, an architect. Now, he uses this term on himself. As a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, let me turn just for a moment back to Psalm 127, to the book of Psalms, chapter 127. Oh, let's see here. Except the Lord, this is verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Unless the Lord is building, you're wasting your time. I've laid the foundation. Well, what foundation is that? If we skip down to verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That was the centrality, that was the theme, that was the objective that in all of Paul's preaching was Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I've laid the foundation, but now here comes Apollos, and he's teaching, and he's preaching, and it is building. The thing is building. But wait, it is God's building. The Lord has to be involved in the building of the house, or the whole thing's just nothing but a pile of material that's going to come down. If it's going to stand, God has to be the foundation. God has to give direction in the way this thing is built. I've laid the foundation. He led them to the Lord. Now here comes Apollos through there. Paul couldn't stay. Apollos comes through, and he teaches, and he preaches, and they grow, and the building is growing. It's being built. And another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how, that is, the word heed, especially intent, earnest contemplation. Let every man earnestly contemplate how he is building thereon. You gotta be careful. Now, I have had occasion to build various and sundry things. Some of them have been laughable because I didn't know what I was doing. But you have to take heed. You gotta watch what's going on. You can't just come in one day and build this way, and then the next day think, well, I think I'm going to do it that way. But you get something that doesn't go together. The doors won't close. The floor isn't even. You drop a ball here, it rolls over there, and then makes a U-turn and comes over and lands in that corner over there and then rolls halfway up the wall. You got a problem. Things aren't plumb. They're not level. You see what I'm saying? You got to take heed how you build their one. But no, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about people. We're talking about people. If you happen to be a pastor, you're a preacher, or a Sunday school teacher, listening to me this morning, you know, or you ought to know, that God will hold you accountable for how you build on the foundation that is laid in Christ Jesus. You want your students, you want your people to be everything that God wants them to be. You want them to be able to stand before the Lord and hear the Lord say to them individually, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You want to hear that. You want to hear that for yourself as well, don't you? Sure, nothing wrong with that. Well, if you're going to hear that, you need to contemplate. You need to take heed how you're building thereupon. Heard a man say one time, he was a preacher from Ireland, he says, he was talking to a bunch of preacher boys, and he said, now listen. He said, when you preach the Bible, you're going to say, I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God. Every time I stand and preach, that's right, but now what does God want you to preach? Well, I'm preaching the truth. Yes, you're preaching the truth of His Word, but what is the message that God wants your people to have that day? Take heed how He buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Not works, not giving. Him, Jesus Christ. My time's gone. I'm going to have to skedaddle. I hope you'll join me tomorrow as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians. See you then.